You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions, and student voices.
Hello, and welcome to The Pulse's US election special here at URN. Today, we're going to be taking you through the upcoming US election. Firstly, we're going to be doing a little guide to the US election, and we will be explaining the US election system. Secondly, we'll be looking at the election campaigns and key moments from the campaigns and also from Trump's presidency. And lastly, we'll be talking about our own predictions. We will be discussing what we think is potentially might happen in this race to the White House, and we're going to be seeing if there's anything that may affect either candidate's chance at their chance of being the president. But firstly, today I'm joined by Chunekshi, Clement and Holly, and we will be firstly discussing the Dummy's Guide to the US election. So I thought with this we could start by discussing, just going through what, going through how the US election system works in order to give our listeners a bit of a clearer overview. If you don't know anything about US politics, that's fine, we're going through it. So firstly, the first thing that I found the most interesting was that voters decide at state level rather than one by one, rather than in one national popular vote. Candidates are competing to get votes from the Electoral College. And so this works in states through the Electoral College, as people are competing to get these different Electoral College votes. And these Electoral College votes are based, the numbers of them are based on how big the state is and the population of states. There are 538 total across all states, so the winning candidates need to get 270 or more more Electoral College votes in order to win the presidency. So firstly, I wanted to ask the other panelists, what do you think about the Electoral College? Do you have any opinions on it?
I think it's an interesting system, because I originally thought that American people would vote for the candidate that they wanted to have in the White House, right? But it's actually that they vote for the electors in their state, who then are in control of electing the president and the vice president. So it's a very confusing system to get your head around, but once it makes sense, you know, everything kind of clicks. Do you actually think that because of the system there could be potential corruption?
It's not illegal in a lot of states for electors to go against what the original vote was. So in some states we have what's called a rogue elector. And what they do is they simply vote for who they want to win, rather than who their constituents voted for.
I think rogue electors are quite an interesting point when thinking about the US election. I don't think they're very common, but I think if we potentially could see any this year, it would be a very interesting twist on the election. I think also the Electoral College is quite a different system to many countries, as people are definitely the people aren't using the national vote in order to represent their views. It's done at a state level, which is very different. And I think the next thing that I we need to talk about for this election, I think, is a very important thing. I think the fact that this isn't just an election for the presidency. In this election, the US people will be voting for Congress. So all 435 seats in the House of Representatives and one third of the Senate, which is 33 seats, is also up for election. So the US people aren't just voting for either Trump or Biden or whoever they want to vote for. They're also voting in order to shape the US Congress. Do you think that this is a useful system for in the US? That they vote for all of these in one go, or do you think that different elections would maybe make it better? Clement, what were you saying?
So the idea is that they only vote for the Senate, for a third of the Senate during an election year, because that means that, say, people can change their minds 2 years in and vote for somebody else they want. And it means that one party doesn't have dominant control over every branch of government.
Yeah, that's very true. That it means that it can completely split the parties, and different parties can have different influence on it.
And I think because America's such a big country with a big population.
Holly, what were you saying?
Yeah, I think because America's such a big country, a big population, and obviously a wide range of views, it's important to have that balance of parties in there. So maybe they might agree with certain policies, even though they might usually vote for another party, a different party.
Yeah, I think it's definitely important that they vote for, that they can have sort of a split in order to sort of come for a compromise. Jen, actually, what did you want to say?
I was going to say that the 2016 election was a very interesting one in that the majority, Hillary Clinton won the majority vote, right? But it was Trump who won the majority electoral college votes. So the system can be manipulated to allow presidents who aren't popular to actually get into the White House. And in that sense, it is a flawed system, because Donald Trump doesn't actually represent the people. He represents the electoral college votes.
Yeah, that's very true. It's definitely shows a different sort of representation than many people will be used to.
Like, it's not even the same across every state. So, for example, in Florida had such a different electoral system that when voters went to vote in 2000, the polling machines were so confusing for the voters that they accidentally voted for the wrong person. And that 150 vote difference is what gave George Bush the best presidency in 2000. So the fact that there isn't uniformity confuses voters into doing things they wouldn't normally do, wouldn't want to do.
Yeah, it definitely shows that. I think it is, I agree that it is quite confusing, and voters, especially if people aren't as educated on the system, it can be a very confusing system, and therefore can lead to the voting sort of being swayed in different ways. So another thing about the US election is that the results are usually clear in the morning after the day of the election, but this year it may actually be different due to a surge in postal votes. For example, in 2016, Donald Trump gave his victory speech at 3 a.m., but this year it might be very different because of them having to sort out postal votes, and in order to, so it might completely change that. And another thing is that even if Biden gets elected, gets elected as president, his term will not start until the 20th of January, which is the US inauguration day.
Oh.
And so Trump will still be president until around the 19th of January, when, and then on the 20th, Biden will get elected, and his term as presidency would start then if he gets elected. So that sort of explains how the US system works. We're now going to go to a quick song before we'll be going on to talk about the discussion of election campaigns and key moments over the past 4 years.
You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions and student voices.
Welcome back to The Pulse's US election special. I'm still Tamara, and I'm still joined by Chinnakshi, Holly and Clement, and we will now be discussing the election campaigns and the key moments that have happened over the campaigns and also over Trump's presidency. So firstly, we're going to talk about a reflection of the 2016 election, as I think this is an important one to look over before we start looking at the new election that is coming. So firstly, the 2016 election was a clear example of one candidate winning the popular vote, but another one winning the electoral college. This is shown as Hillary Clinton managed to win the popular vote and got over 1 million more votes than Donald Trump, but Trump still won the electoral college and won a lot of key states, which then gave him the presidency. The 2016 election also had a Republican majority in the House and in the Senate, which was a very important factor for Trump, even though we did see a few of his things getting rejected in Congress, even though it was a Republican House and Senate. So I would like to ask the panel, what what are your opinions on the 2016 election, and what do you think that we can learn from it this year?
I'd like to start by saying it reflects that the system can be manipulated and doesn't adequately represent the US population. Through Hillary Clinton's victory, we can see that the US population actually wanted to be represented by Clinton, and yet Trump was able to systematically get states, and in doing so, got his place at the White House. So it's a system that can be manipulated for a person's benefit.
So the states that really won Trump were Florida and Pennsylvania, and we'll talk more about that later because they're the key states to look at this year. He won 70 more electoral votes than Clinton did, despite the fact that he lost the popular vote by a significant margin. I think, however, the most important thing we need to think of now when coming into this election is that people need to vote locally as well as nationally. Looking at the response to COVID, Trump has managed to roll over states because there's a lot of states that follow his opinions. And if people were to vote locally, they'd have more of a say on how their state responds to things like COVID.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that is a very important point. And I think that's definitely a good learning point from the 2016 election for this year. We're now going to be going over some key moments from the campaigns this year. And I think that a lot of these will be very impactful on what happened this year. So firstly, I think one of the most important ones is Trump getting COVID in October. And also alongside that, Trump's dealing with COVID over the past 7 months. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that this, firstly, Trump's dealing with COVID and also Trump getting COVID will be a big impactful factor on this year's election?
Yeah, definitely. Nationally, how he dealt with COVID was absolutely horrible. You know, millions of people were unemployed, hundreds and thousands of people had died, and he just took a very indifferent approach to these people's lives. On a global scale, the way he handled the pandemic made America look very incompetent and foolish. And to add to that, he sparked a lot of rivalry, I guess, between America and China, because he always kept on referring to the coronavirus as the China flu and the originated in China. So on top of the millions of people who've been unemployed, those people have died, and the damage it's done to American populations also has damaged their global relations with other superpowers.
Yeah, I think that it has been quite a damaging factor for Trump over the past couple months, and I think that it will be quite an impactful factor when people come to vote, and especially as COVID has affected so many people's lives in the past couple months, it's definitely going to be quite a big thing when it comes to voting. Another thing that sort of stood out this year in the campaigns and in this election is the rise in voting from home. There has been a surge in postal votes, which may impact the election. And do you think that this will be impactful? I think that the surge in postal votes will definitely show a difference in how the US people voting, especially as they're used to sort of difficult queues, long waiting times, and a lot of this other problematic stuff that made voting a lot more difficult in other years.
You know, I think that, you know, postal voting has been very underrated in the US recently, especially in the past 20 years or so. And I think recently I saw an article online that said that postal voting and early voting had led to a significant rise in young people's vote. And that's because they don't need to worry about taking time off work to vote. And for a lot of people, that's a big issue. You know, a lot of people think, well, I'm not going to have time to vote because I work a 16-hour shift. And if I don't work, I don't get paid or I lose my job.
Yeah, I definitely think that that is quite a big, definitely an impactful thing. And I think the voting from home, as you say, has definitely been quite underrated. Another impactful thing has been the introduction of the mute button in the debates, and the debates have really shown sort of where Trump and Biden are going with their, what they're aiming for their presidencies. And I think the mute button is definitely something important that was introduced, especially as Trump does like to talk over people.
I think it kind of showed that you know, Trump is a shouter. He is a shouting politician that can get his way simply by talking loudly. And with Hillary Clinton, he thought he could get away with it. But with Biden, he's just you know, he spent, you know, 50 years in the Senate. He's not dealing with people talking when he's meant to be talking. And it kind of showed, you know, it looked like two kids in a playground arguing with each other.
Yeah,
I think it showed that Biden was very confident and he was able to stick up for himself. And he wasn't, when it came to his job, he wasn't letting anybody get in the way of it.
Absolutely. A pivotal moment in that debate actually was when Trump attacked Biden's son on the basis of his drug problem. And the way that Biden dealt with that, to me personally, was just a really good response. You know, he defended his son, but he also appealed to the American people, and he acknowledged that drug abuse is a big issue in America. So that debate was important in not only interrogating the candidates on what they think about certain political events, but also showed their true nature and their true character, which is incredibly important in appealing for votes at this time.
Do you think that these debates will impact the way that people are voting a lot? Do you think that either candidate has sort of impressed the US people enough in order to make it a substantial win for themselves?
I would argue that on the basis of the debate alone, no, but on the basis of Trump's handling of the presidency for the past 4 years, absolutely. But I just think the debate kind of consolidated people's views and opinions of Trump and Biden.
I think a lot of people are forgetting that, you know, 2 years ago, the Democrats won the biggest majority in the House they've had for ages, you know, for the past six elections or so. And I think, you know, it shows that, you know, if, you know, people don't vote, but if it's clear to them that their lives are being impacted by the president's policies, they will vote. And I think, despite the fact that, you know, Trump's base has actually remained kind of firm, it's been shown by that 2018 election that people aren't happy and they will vote against him. When it comes to the debate, I think that it gave too many mixed signals in order to be a main deciding factor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think reflecting on the 2018 election for the Senate, I think that's definitely an important one to look back on, as it will be quite a big thing that showed that the US people wanted change and they were willing to come out and vote in those certain areas in order to vote for a different party because they weren't happy.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Lastly in this section, I think that one of the most important things is to look over Trump's presidency and to sort of see where he's done good and where he has done bad. So I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think Trump's biggest accomplishment or failure over the past 4 years is?
Okay, well, I have done some studies into this, so I'm going to read out two of his accomplishments and two of his failures. So one of his accomplishments has been reshaping the federal judiciary. So thus far, Trump has installed 3 Supreme Court justices and 220 judges overall to the federal bench, all of lifetime appointments. Amy Coney Barrett became Trump's 3rd Supreme Court justice on October 26th. And so by December, Trump's nominees made up roughly 25% of all U.S. circuit judges. And so the impact of this is that even if Trump is not reelected in 2020, his presidency will still continue to have an impact on the direction of the U.S. due to the sheer number of conservative federal judges he's installed. And a failure, quite blaringly obvious, is his failure in dealing with you know, Charlottesville and George Floyd. Trump's response to a deadly neo-Nazi rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, remains one of the most controversial moments in his presidency. It's emblematic of Trump's struggle to bring the country together after the tragedies, and Trump blamed many sides for the violence at the rallies, which resulted in the death of a counter-protester, Heather Heyer. So that's another way in which he has failed. So, yeah, what do you guys think so far about the accomplishments and failures that I've just spoken about?
In terms of the judiciary, I think it's going to have less of an impact than perhaps he would expect it to have. If you look at recently, even, you know, recently he's tried to ban the Chinese apps, TikTok and WeChat. Both of those bans have been struck down by federal court judges, as well as issues regarding lockdowns and COVID. Especially, you know, when he was deporting immigrants away and using those ICE raids, it was federal judges that put an end to that. I think, despite the fact that, you know, he does have significant influence over the judiciary doesn't work in the same way that the other two branches work.
Right.
It's less partisan in its approach, and that's why there was a massive Supreme Court case recently regarding trans rights in the workplace. And despite the fact that, you know, at that point they had a majority in the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court voted in favour of those rights against the president.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think the judiciary one can be a tricky one to recognise whether Trump has done. Well, not has done well, but I think a lot of American people will look at things more sort of prominent. And I think although the federal judiciary is extremely important, I think other maybe more social and more outspoken things will have a greater impact on whether people vote for Trump or not.
I have another alleged accomplishment that he's done. So it says here, according to Business Insider, that he was responsible for tax reform. So he put forward this Republican tax bill that made sweeping changes to the tax code, so the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So the law was the biggest overhaul to the nation's tax code in three decades, as it was rocket fuel for the American economy. It permanently slashed the corporate tax rate to 21% from 35%, while also providing temporary benefits for individuals and their families. So what do you think about this slash of corporate tax rate?
Definitely for people who are going to donate to the Trump campaign, and it will be quite impactful, as he will have a lot of big corporation donations, I think, because of slashing the tax bill, as a lot of these people will want to keep this tax reform in place.
I think, you know, when talking about economic policy, I would say, had I been asked that policy at the end of last year, I would have said, you know, that's going to win him a lot of votes. But I think any economic reform he's made in the past 4 years has been completely and utterly destroyed by COVID.
Absolutely. No, I agree.
That is very true.
Yeah.
I think COVID is definitely going to be a defining factor in this election. And I think it's definitely going to be something in the future that historians will look back on and recognize as one of the biggest factors within this election.
Absolutely. And one other big factor that, you know, dogged his reputation as a US president was family separation and the deaths of migrant children. So during his time, there has been a separation of at least 5,500 families, and his presidency saw children being placed in cages. You know, he's been accused of human rights abuses and violating international law by the UN. And he described the practice as nothing less than the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics described this as nothing less than the government-sanctioned child abuse. So that is also something quite characteristic of his presidency, and something that is going to haunt him while he's trying to get votes in the upcoming days.
Yeah, I think there will definitely be a sign of a clash between what different voters care about. And I think that it will definitely this election will show sort of what direction the country's heading in and what the US people primarily care about.
Yeah, I think but that's one thing that really frustrated me about this horrid situation in which the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency was forcing kids into cages, is the fact that people just did not care.
Yeah.
They genuinely, like, it just happened.
Yeah, I know, it's like, horrible.
If it had happened to white people, for instance, if they were splitting white Americans from their families, putting them in cages,
yeah,
he'd be impeached.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, impeachment was what he also went through as a president, wasn't he?
Yeah, Trump is the I think third president to be impeached.
Christ.
So it will. That is definitely another big factor. And although he wasn't removed from office, it's still quite significant that he did get impeached.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Christ. Right. So that's all the discussion we have for that section about the election campaigns and the key moments of the election and Trump's presidency. But we'll be back after a song to talk about our predictions about this election, and hopefully we might be able to predict this correctly. But we're gonna have a discussion on who we think is gonna win the race to the White House.
DJ.
Is URN
University
Radio
Nottingham.
Welcome back to the Pulse's US election special. I'm still Tamara, and I'm still joined by Chinekshi, Clement and Holly, and now we're going to be talking about our predictions for the US election, which is very soon now, is happening only next week. So we're going to be talking about what we think is going to happen next week. So firstly, just a few facts about the polls currently. So Biden is currently leading in the polls, and although this could be a positive factor for Biden, the 2016 election showed Clinton ahead, and although in some cases a margin of error which would have put Trump ahead wasn't accounted for by a lot of by people when talking about it, Biden leading in the polls could still be a very different factor, and things could still go very differently to how the polls say. Although some people have said that the polls this year seem much clearer than in 2016, and the polls also show that Biden is generally leading in more marginal states, with Trump only being shown to be leading in three states. Do you guys think that Biden will get ahead in this election? Do you think that Biden will be able to take this one quite easily?
What we've learned from the 2016 polls is that not really to trust polls, because 2016 predicted that Clinton would win, right? And look, he's been president for the past 4 years. So we can't really trust what polls are saying simply based on what has been said in the 2016 elections.
I think that's really true, but I think also in terms of the states where Trump is behind or where Biden is leading, so for example, in Michigan, Pennsylvania and in Wisconsin, his margin, he won those last year, but he won them by very small margins of below 1%. So where Biden is leading, you could say that even though he's leading, it could sway. Because he won those last year by such a small amount, you could say that it's likely that Biden would be able to keep them, because Trump didn't have them by very large percentages anyway.
Right, yeah, I know. I agree.
I think there is an interesting fact, and it's quite worrying fact. Every time an incumbent Republican president has been slated to lose by a significant margin, they've won. Every time. And that includes Nixon and Reagan. You know, these at the same time, I always hesitate to relate this election to those ones, because it's so different this year.
Yeah,
you know, Trump has overseen a disaster bigger than any disaster since World War II.
Yeah,
yeah, I think definitely that is a very important factor. And I think the fact that Trump is such a different president to usual presidents, and also the fact that he's overseen, as you say, an absolutely massive thing that a lot of presidents haven't had to deal with in the same way, this could be a turning point for those sort of statistics.
Yeah, I agree. I also agree with what you said about his character being alienating and different from previous presidents. I completely agree with that, because even Republicans who have supported the party don't like Trump. And I know this because I've read this in the past. So his character is important.
It's very particular.
Pardon?
It's very particular. And I feel that he usually wins by having people agree with his opinions and raising just support for his opinions. But I think that now, because a lot of his opinions have been so controversial, and in light of the pandemic, a lot more people are inclined to disagree with those and then not vote based on those emotions, and rather, you know.
But also, what do you guys think about Biden? Biden isn't exactly the most progressive candidate I know. You know, I much prefer Bernie Sanders, but Biden's own histories with controversial bills,
prison laws,
and prison laws, exactly, also don't make him for a much favorable candidate compared to Trump.
I feel like with the US election, because there are only two candidates, it's always going to be a lesser of two evils.
I agree.
So so some people may vote in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
that, you know,
sorry Clement, keep going.
I think, you know, I definitely agree that Biden definitely is not the most progressive candidate, and I'd rather have a much more progressive candidate.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking, he's probably the best for the job right now, because he's got the experience. But not only that, you know, you're not going to sway Republicans with Bernie Sanders type politics.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think,
and that's important for those battleground states.
Yeah, I think Bernie Sanders is quite a divisive figure. Although a lot of people seem to favour him, he is quite a divisive figure. So Biden has more potential in order to win over the potentially more Republican-leaning voters, as there might be stuff that appeals to him more. So the current battleground states that I have been seeing, there are Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, Virginia, and Wisconsin. That is a lot of states. That is 14, I think, out of 50 states. So they could very much go either way. And I think it's the sort of polling figures for them are quite close in the majority of them. For example, in Ohio, Biden just loses out by about 0.6% in the polls for that state. So they are very close.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think we're going to see another very close election? Do you think we're going to see another one candidate winning the popular vote and one candidate winning the Electoral College?
I would say no, simply because of who Trump is as a character. He's very outspoken and controversial, to the point where he's alienating even his own supporters. So I predict that there would be a majority victory to the Democrats under Biden.
I also think that even with Ohio, as you mentioned, last year Trump won Ohio by 8.2%. So the fact that it's now so close, I think that's the case with a lot of states, actually, where Trump won by quite a large majority. They've become a lot slimmer now. So I think that does show a bit less favor on Trump, on side of Trump.
Pennsylvania, I think, is the one to really look out for. Biden is currently slightly winning in Pennsylvania, and I think we're going to see it switch back to the Democrats this year, simply because this idea that, you know, you've got the steel workers and the coal workers in Pennsylvania, a lot of them have lost their jobs due to COVID and Trump's handling of COVID. And it's always been one of those states where you can pretty much be sure in every election that it would be Democrat. It's just this time it went over to Republican. I think that's definitely the one to look at.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting points brought by everyone. And I think we are seeing definitely a shift away in favour for Trump. But Now, I'm going to ask the big question that everyone, well, most people probably have an opinion on. Who do you think is going to win the general election in the US?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard question.
It's always a difficult question,
That one. I'm going to be optimistic because I don't like being pessimistic anymore. It makes me sad. I don't think the question for me is whether Biden's going to win. I think the question is whether Trump will let Biden take presidency.
Right, why do you say that?
Trump is a very divisive figure, and we all know that. But he's also a very, I don't know how to say it, he's very, if it doesn't go my way, it's the wrong way.
Right, so do you think there's going to be some foul play on part of Trump's? Yeah, no, I was predicting that as well. Yeah.
Do you think Trump will be capable of that, though? Do you think that he will go forwards with that?
I think he'd try if he could, if it was close enough.
So do you, if Biden wins, do you think that on Inauguration Day, on the 20th of January, we will be seeing a bit of a kerfuffle where Trump is refusing to let go?
I think what we'll see is, you know, this has appeared in many of my dreams. We'll see the military escorting Donald Trump out of the White House by force, and we'll all stand up and clap.
Yeah,
no. I think he'll probably ask for a re-election as well if he loses, especially by a small majority.
I agree.
I think the thing is about the election is I don't think he understands what that means. So if he was to delay the election, he would still leave office on the 20th of January, no matter if there's an election or not. And that means it would go down to the vice president, and he loses his office at that point as well. Mm. And then the Speaker of the House, and she loses her office. And then it goes to the Senate, and that should be Republican. But because of that third of the Senate that's up for re-election, it's Democrat. So a Democrat would be the president between the time between January 20th and the next election.
Yeah, I think that some people have predicted this outcome. And I think the person who then, in that circumstance, would become president is Patrick Leahy, who is the, I think, the longest serving United States senator. And he's from Vermont. And he was first elected in 1974. And I think that would definitely be an interesting circumstance to see all of these people lose their office and we get a completely sort of random senator in as president.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. But what's also important with the outcome of this election is just understanding the state at which Trump has left the US in. He's allowed for more white supremacy to be, you know, become the norm. He's allowed for more divisions on racial barriers between immigrants and immigrants and natives, right? He's allowed for the Black Lives Matter movement to be demonized. So it's not only about the candidate that's coming into the White House, it's also what the US has become at this point.
Yeah, it's almost as if Trump's campaign advisor sat him down in late 2019 and said, we need to kind of motivate this black demographic that we could very readily employ. And he gave him a bunch of tips of what to do. And Donald Trump did absolutely everything that he should not have done.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a definitely very important factors when we are looking at how we think the US election is going to go. And I think it's very important that we look at all the possibilities where this election go. I think especially as COVID has seemingly messed up what Trump was potentially hoping would be quite an easy election before COVID came about. And I think that we definitely need to look at all these key factors when predicting. So very, very last thing. I know I've asked this, but I want one word from everyone. Just the name of the person who you think is going to win the race.
Biden.
So we've got three Bidens across the house. So it seems like this one is Biden's to lose. And it will be very interesting on the election night on November 3rd, when to find out what happens and to see if Biden can take the White House from Trump. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for this special. But thank you to Chinakshi, Holly and Clement for joining me in order to discuss all the important facts about the US election.